Welcome to The Wayne Nicholson Show, a podcast that features a diverse range of guests from well-known celebrities, artists, and journalists, to world champion athletes, to everyday people with remarkable stories to tell. The podcast aims to inspire, inform, and entertain with engaging conversations and gripping tales from a wide range of perspectives. And don't forget, we also have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page. So grab yourself a drink, sit back, and enjoy the show.
Shelley Q is the star of the upcoming US film, 1 Million Followers. It follows a young country Californian girl who strikes social media fame, who then moves to Thailand for a collaboration where things go terribly wrong. Shelley herself comes from a small country town here in Western Australia called Narrogin. And for a girl that's never been outside of Australia to suddenly get cast as the lead on this US film, shooting in exotic locations such as Thailand and then going to California, and then eventually Shelley moves to Canada. But when she talks about this journey, she's such a balanced and beautiful soul with no ego whatsoever. But she describes this journey more as a spiritual one and the lessons she learned along the way.
This episode is brought to you by Egypt Fun Tours. If you're a fan of Indiana Jones and dream of exploring ancient ruins and uncovering hidden treasures, then Egypt Fun Tours is the perfect choice for you. As you journey through Egypt, you'll feel like you're on your own personal adventure. With Egypt Fun Tours, you'll have the opportunity to explore some of the world's most iconic archaeological sites, including the Pyramids of Giza, the Valley of the Kings, and the Temple of Karnak. Their expert guides will take you off the beaten path and show you the hidden gems that most tourists never get to see. Whether you're exploring the underground tombs of ancient pharaohs or walking in the footsteps of Cleopatra, you'll feel like you've stepped into a Hollywood movie. And with their attention to detail and commitment to authenticity, Egypt Fun Tours ensures that you'll have an experience that's both thrilling and educational. So if you're ready to embark on an adventure of a lifetime, look no further than Egypt Fun Tours. Book your tour today and get ready to uncover the mysteries of Egypt like never before. For more information on Egypt Fun Tours, check out their Facebook page, Egypt Fun Tours, and their website, EgyptFunTours.com.
This episode is also brought to you by Deli's Continental, the newest addition to the local food scene in Perth, Western Australia. A Conti bar like no other, this hip and trendy spot offers a unique twist on classic Conti rolls, crafted with the highest quality ingredients and culinary expertise. With a passion for bringing elevated flavors to casual dining, Deli's Continental creative menu is sure to satisfy any palate. Whether you're craving a classic Conti roll with a gourmet twist or a doorstopper focaccia, this Conti bar is the perfect spot for foodies. Come and experience the culinary mastery of the talented staff at Deli's Continental, the hottest new Conti bar in town. 2 861 Beaufort Street, Inglewood. For more information, you can check out their Instagram and Facebook page, Deli's_Continental.
Shelley Q.
Hello,
it's
hello.
Did we say two years?
Yeah, I think it's been just over 2 years.
2 years. God, there's so much to catch up on. And I'm glad that when I messaged you, because I saw photos that you were back in Perth, and I thought, oh, I've just got to send her one hello message. And then what I've been doing is using the podcast as an excuse to catch up with people.
That's a great idea. No, I feel like so often in life we share these cool experiences with people and it's like, oh, we should have filmed that chat. We should have recorded it. It's like, oh, this is great. If anyone can use anything of the nonsense we say, it's helping.
I often call this the oldest form of storytelling, but instead of a campfire, we're using microphones.
Yeah.
Because really it is. It's just sitting down and telling stories, right? And
yeah.
And chatting. So your world has completely changed, because all we spoke about on that podcast 2 years ago was music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was about music, which did really well, by the way. A lot of people contacted me, was asking where you were going to sing. And what I should do is I should go through those messages and screenshot, because now I do that. I screenshot really cool messages and send them to the podcast guests.
Yeah.
But that was all about music. And your life just took a turn towards the movie industry.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what's really sweet is when you sent me that message from, I think it was California, about you coming to me and asking me in Perth back in the day whether you should follow your passion of singing or movies. And I said, well, why do you have to do one or the other?
Yeah.
You can do both. I remember that. And
it's an incredible discussion as well, because I think so often in life we have these roles that we feel we need to assimilate into. Yeah. And it's, oh gosh, you can't multiple things. If you're a country singer, you're a country singer. If you're an R&B, you're an R&B. But it's almost like, what if we just be dangerous and exciting and do a bit of everything?
And just be.
Yeah, just be. You don't have to be anything.
Yeah.
You're just there.
Yeah. And so you've gone on a very spiritual journey. When I say spiritual, I mean in the fact of really finding out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, we were talking earlier about when you leave the nest and when you leave your environment, you start to understand who you are through the good times and the not so good times.
Absolutely.
And so I'm curious to find out like what Shelley's journey has been since 2 years ago, because you've been on this whirlwind, like, in the movie industry in California, and you had to leave and go to Canada. So I'm just wanting to start from when you left Perth.
Yeah.
Like, what made you leave Perth?
Well, I love Perth, and I was extremely happy. I had quite a few jobs that I was doing. I was studying online actually as well, so I could do everything else in life that I wanted to do. And I was actually working on a Australian independent feature film being shot in Perth at the time. And I remember we were just about to wrap, and because that had been delayed a year because of COVID. And after we wrapped, or we were getting close to the end, and a few people were talking about, oh, you know, so where's everyone going after this? What's happening? And it was the first time I kind of sat back and felt as if I was like a robot in the Matrix, just going through the motions of life and just doing things as I felt in the moment, which are exciting, but also I was doing things because I thought I should do them. And so in my head, part of me thought, oh, yeah, well, I will, I guess I'll go back to study and yeah, it'll be great, and I'll keep doing the same things, and I'll live in the same spot, and I will surround myself with the same everything. And then I just thought, oh, I would love to go to the other side of Australia, but I don't really know many people, and I'm a bit scared. And then all of a sudden, all this doubt came into my head of why I couldn't.
Sure.
And that was the first time I caught myself, like I had an inspired thought. And then the fear drilled into me from life came in and said, no, 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 you're not going to do that. So I felt that within me. And so I went home and I thought about it for a bit. And then I spoke to a few close friends and family as well. I spoke to my mom about it, because I think they've always known that I would love to go to Sydney. And then I just thought, why don't I just book the ticket? Just do that. And so
one step,
right? Yeah. Everything will have to follow if I book the ticket. So I booked the ticket, and then it was like, oh, okay, well, what are you going to do? Oh, I don't know. And then all this kind of thought came into my head, and I thought, well, the first thing I can do is pack up and get what I don't need into a box and either give it to friends, give it away, try and sell some stuff if I can. And then I just kind of, I felt so liberated.
Yeah.
And it was within a week, and then and I messaged my close friends and I said, look, I've always had this thought, but I think I don't want a going away party because I don't want it to mean anything. This is just for me. I'm just challenging myself. So within a week, I packed three massive suitcases and my guitar, and then jumped on a plane. And it was from there, just this – the events that followed were so exciting and scary.
Did you know anyone in Sydney?
I had one family friend and a few friends, like a couple of friends that I had met just through mutual friends 2 years prior.
Sure.
But not in the way that it was like I had a close group over there, which is cool because I like challenging myself. But it definitely was the first part I just remember scrambling around and being like, oh, okay, well, I just need to find somewhere to crash. And really, I was going by the seat of my pants at this stage. And so that was kind of my introduction to challenging myself.
Well, it's actually just the first step out of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Once I felt, okay, well, now I'm here, so I need to find, okay, I need to just settle for just a month or something. And I was very lucky in that I had a beautiful friend reach out and say, hey, I know a couple who actually grew up in Perth, and they said, like, feel free, you can just crash in their guest room for a couple weeks and just swing them some cash and, you know, it'll be fine. Just stay there for a little bit until you find somewhere that you can, you know, I was looking for a little apartment to rent. And in that 2 weeks was when Sydney's cases blew up to the hundreds COVID. Of thousands. And we went into strict, strict lockdown of you can only leave the house once a day and it's for groceries or if you're in movement or towards a essential service emergency. And it was 6 months where we actually had that. And it was the pivotal point for everything that followed. And it was really, really hard. And I struggled. I think about it now and like – I just remember the feeling of, oh, wait, I've moved. This is my exciting life. And I was really, it's funny thinking about it now because I was trying to do it alone and I wanted to be able to tell my family, look at me, I've moved by myself and I'm thriving. And that was all ego.
It was.
Which is how it definitely everything shifted from there when I realized, when I went through that, I think, transition at the start of things unfolding not how I wanted it to be and me falling sick and then feeling ill and then, oh, my goodness, the events that then unfolded over the next few months were so hard but so important for me. And I think it was definitely in that moment that I had a couple friends close to me that were really struggling in lockdown and they had reached out to me and I was at the stage where I didn't really want to answer my phone either. I felt shameful. I felt embarrassed that I had moved and it was, oh, what are you going to do now? And it was like, I took it all on myself. But then I thought, this is no good. What good is it if I'm just going to sit in my misery and I've got friends that are really, really struggling. And if I'm just going to let myself go into a hole and not even try, how am I going to be there for them? And so when I would have some of these friends call me and I wanted to be a bundle of sunshine and it was hard, I Googled what books do I read to see light when it's just darkness? And I found so many different, they were self-help books. They were, I went through a whole route of starting with, you know, Eckhart Tolle and then into books about the soul and then about the mind, what makes us see hope when the physical laws of the universe are telling you, no, 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 you can't do this. And it was that I started journaling and writing and reading and I was chewing up books. And it was like all of a sudden I found all this power within myself. And it didn't matter what was going on out there and what the news was saying because nothing could break my spirit and I could see that this was all going to end. That was a big shift for me.
So isn't it amazing that you find the help when you need it the most? Looking at your journey now, you had to leave here to be in Sydney to go through that to prepare you for what was going to come in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think, what do you think now? Do you think that happened for a reason?
Oh, it absolutely did. And it's funny because it was in that 6 months that then I found myself so invested in stories of hope and inspiration and then relaying that to people and like, what if this happened? What if you felt as if you had already got everything you could ever want and then you just lived and breathed as if it was that way? Even if the external reality is not presenting itself like that.
Sure.
And that was really, I think, the shift in my mind. And I also felt so happy when I could speak to someone and they were like, oh, that really helped me. I've never thought of it like that. And then it gave me happiness.
Yeah.
And then that was when, you know, the 6 months had ended And I found this beautiful little apartment in the rainforest in Sydney.
Whereabouts?
Like in Coogee.
Oh, Coogee, so yeah.
It was kind of like, it wasn't the rainforest, but it was like a little tropical paradise.
A rainforest in Coogee?
Yeah. And I remember I messaged the landlord and I said, I love this. I think this is for me. I would love to sign a year lease. And he said, oh, we're doing renovations in 4 months. So unfortunately, if you want it, you can have it, but it's only for 4 months. And I just thought, oh, this is so, like, this doesn't work with how I want things because it's perfect and I'll have to get secondhand furniture and I'm by myself. And something told me everything's worked out so far and you're in this place right now. So just go ahead with the 4 months and see what you can do. And so I moved in and yes, I slept on the floor for a couple of nights. And then I had so many beautiful friends come to help me with their utes and their cars, help me get
so you,
furniture.
You'd made quite a bit of friends by then.
Yeah. And most of it was actually even through connecting through social media and just sure. putting up little quotes that inspired me and people reaching out and asking about that. And that was how then after when I had made this little home and just got all this beautiful like secondhand furniture and made it my little humble abode, it was within a week that I responded to a worldwide casting call calling for an American farm girl in a movie.
Did you have an agent?
Yes, I had one at the time and this was just through casting networks. And so, I was studying and I was doing quite a bit of like freelance modeling, but never really within the acting industry. It wasn't until I found my love of books and characters and stories that then I felt a connection to, oh, when you can see a character get through something, you can get through that thing also. And I put this tape down and then within a few days, I met the director on Zoom in LA. And he said, we would love to have you as the lead in our movie and you leave the country to start filming in 4 months.
Oh, wow.
And the week that my lease ended was the week I needed to leave Australia to start shooting. And it was just this goosebump moment of, oh, it was meant to go like this.
And it's also a reminder to trust your instincts
yeah.
and just let go and go with it. Because that's what you did and it all worked out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's so hard as well because we love knowing what works and patterns. But I think, and it's cool, I think we need to have a routine in some regard.
Sure.
But it's when you break a pattern and you just take a chance on something that is just in the foresight of your imagination and then what can unfold then. That's cool territory.
So tell me how you felt when you got that role.
Oh.
So you auditioned online?
Yeah. And it's funny because I just kind of presumed a lot of people know how you do an audition, but a lot of people have actually asked me and been surprised. But, yeah, when you do a tape and often a lot of international projects are not in the room as well because of the pandemic, they are just videos. So what happens is you have a little – camera in front of you and you have someone reading the lines behind the camera and you are in scene in front of the character, the camera, and you send off that tape of doing the scene and you're having a conversation
with
the person.
That's great now, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's so fun because it's my biggest joy.
An American farm girl. Like you couldn't get any character closer to who you are. You're a country girl.
Yeah.
And what accent were they expecting?
Just a general American, which is usually considered Californian.
Sure.
But even in saying that, there are so many factors that make a general accent. And you listen to Australians as well. We sound different everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's not in an exact refined accent, but yes, I trained myself to speak general Californian. And
oh, right. So
Southern.
you didn't go for like, you know, dialect classes or voice coaching?
Yeah, no, I actually had a beautiful lady, Catherine Beck. She's in Sydney. And I had a friend of a friend reached out and said she was amazing. And I messaged her. And so I had a one-on-one with her. This was like when I was quite young, I think, like a few years ago. And I'm still young.
But old soul.
Yeah.
Shelley, you're an old soul.
Yeah, but yeah, so when it was lockdown, I actually reached out to her and I was like, well, look, I got all this time on my hands and I would love to be learning things. I've always been told like, yeah, you kind of sound American when you do it, but you're not really. You kind of sound a little bit like Johnny Cash and a little bit Australian. I was like, it's because that's all I listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So I want to go through the experience. So you got the role.
Yeah.
When they said you've got the role and you're shooting in 4 months in California, What's the first thing you did?
Well, it was funny because it was still kind of lockdown in Sydney. It wasn't something like we could go out to, outdoor settings and some restaurants, but seated. But still household gatherings were limited, I think, to 5.
Oh, okay.
And it was this kind of bittersweet feeling because I knew I would be leaving, but also I had just left my family as well for 6 months and I knew that would be 10, but also WA's borders weren't open.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm definitely not going home before I leave on this big adventure. And I didn't want to really tell anybody until it was definite and it was all, you know, flights booked and everything.
Sure.
And it just, so I actually kind of kept it to myself. And there was something cool because it allowed me to really channel.
Absorb it.
The story and just be where I needed to be. And I wanted to keep reading and still remain in that. It's funny. I was kind of hibernating, but it was also challenging for me to throw myself back out there and be everywhere because I had just been like 6 months of silence. So, yeah, it was actually a lot of my own kind of celebration and I was just really proud of that I was happy with the stillness. Yeah.
Before the craziness.
Before the craziness, yeah.
So when you got to LA, did someone pick you up at the airport?
So we actually shot in Thailand for 5 weeks. And so we flew in for 1 week of rehearsals first and it was so magical. We flew into Phuket first and then, we had a beautiful, beautiful van driver. The whole crew, I cannot speak more highly of this beautiful Thailand crew. And it was just the most magical. I was so out of it as
well. Have you been to Thailand before?
Never left Australia.
Oh, really, Shelley?
Yeah. So this is my first time out of the country.
Fantastic. What a first time, you know. You're going to do what you love in a different country, different culture.
Yeah.
You know, different people. Uh-huh. How exciting. So you were there for how long in Thailand?
So we were there for 5 weeks, yeah, through until the start of March. And we were shooting at this beautiful resort in Phuket, which was cool because it's obviously a bit confusing when you say, oh, yes, I'm shooting an American farm girl movie, but it's in Thailand. But the whole premise of the film is it's a social media thriller and it follows the journey of this farm girl who does get taken out of her depth and her world she knows. And she gets invited to do this collaboration kind of through a social media platform, which takes place in Thailand. And it's a bit of I won't spoil it, but it's a bit of a story about how sometimes we can lose ourselves in the process of trying to get the external world to like and perceive everything as what you're doing is great and how that actually is more destructive when you try to do that to please everyone else.
It's such a self journey.
I know.
It's such a reflective self journey on yourself and what you were going through.
Yeah, it was.
It's a movie that was made for you. I mean, knowing your story from what we spoke about to hearing the premise now, you couldn't get a closer character to a personal character to what you were, the journey that you were going on yourself.
Yeah.
And so is the movie out or is it coming out?
No, so I think it's actually coming out in the next 2 months. It's pretty exciting. I did see some of like little snippets when I was doing ADR, which is obviously when you do the voiceover for certain parts that are missed in the film. And so I could see little glimpses and, it just.
Were you happy with your performance?
Yeah, I'm so happy with everything about it. And it's funny because it doesn't even, when I watched it, it didn't feel like me.
Oh, that's good.
and I sounded very well, when I'm doing, well, my character, it wasn't even just general Californian, but I was playing a younger girl as well. She was 19, and I made the choice to speak her in a lot higher tone, with a, you know, sort of country, but a Californian accent. So I don't even sound like Shelley. And then obviously you've got costumes and hair and makeup and location. And yeah, it was like, this is a part of me, but it's not me.
What's your character's name?
Carissa.
Carissa. And what was your biggest lesson that you learned in the craft of acting from the director through that experience? Do you remember?
I think the biggest lesson I've learned is when you trust and believe in yourself, everyone else does. And the moment you start doubting yourself, it's only your internal doubt that will then reflect itself in external people doubting you.
I understand that. I used to teach acting back in the day, and I used to say that if you are not feeling what you've just said, the audience are not going to feel it. So you are the judge. So you know whether you have felt the words you've just spoken or whether you are tricking the audience. Mm. And there was a lady that came to me a long time after. Her name was Nina. And she said, she reminded me, she goes, you know, I never forget you saying that. It made a big thing with how I perform, because I became so fussy, because I'd be like, no, I didn't feel that. And I know the audience are going to know that too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's part of trickery and they'll go along with it. But mm-hmm. it's all about an emotional connect. And if you are not feeling that emotion, how can an audience connect with an emotion you're not feeling, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, basically you just said that.
Yeah.
If you trust your instincts and you trust yourself, then the audience will trust you too.
Which is funny because it's a metaphor for life too. People know when you're saying things to get a certain response from them, or you're filtering yourself because you're listening to yourself as you say it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're purely saying, if you're just being authentic and saying how you feel, and I think part of it is hard because it's vulnerability, which is, it's hard to break through and just openly express where you need help in life, which is definitely something I'm still growing through, is getting the courage all the time
sure.
to open up to people, to the right people, and be willing to receive guidance and not trying to pretend that you've got it all figured out, because I don't. But that's the beauty. I don't have it figured out, and I look forward to the steps that will unfold when I plunge into the field.
Yeah. You know, I had a guest on recently, and he was talking about God, and he said, what better experience is there to know that God is a wonderful mystery that we just mm-hmm. cannot get? And if you parallel that to life itself, life is exciting because it's a mystery, because you don't know all the steps in front of you.
Yep.
And I think you just have to trust in that process. And it, like, you've always got to remember that 4 month stay in Sydney and your instinct to go, I'm just going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was perfect. That was perfect how that worked out. What's the film called?
1 Million Followers.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And what's the dish? Where's the distribution?
So at the moment, it's because it was an independent, it's being premiered at an American film festival. And then from my understanding, because this was all new to me, so I had no idea how the everything worked. But so distributors will go to the viewing and bid for it.
Sure.
And then it's up to them and the producers as to which platform and whether it goes to cinemas first or, you know, Hulu, Netflix, Paramount. But,
sure.
And that's kind of exciting for me as well, because it's all unknown.
Is it going to be premiered with you there, or all of you there with the distributors, or are you going to have a private screening first?
I imagine it will be premiered with us there.
Mm.
But I'm not sure whether that will be, you know, at a festival or whether it'll be further down the track once distribution has been finalized.
Sure.
Like
how
I say,
exciting.
I'm living in the unknown, and it's so thrilling.
Well, you know, that's where, if the film goes well, even if the film doesn't, the producers or distributors that are there, I mean, exposure, you've got exposure now. So people will be able to see what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
And then hopefully all the offers will start coming in after that. And from 1 million followers, were you working on anything else?
I've actually been working by myself on a few different things.
Have you?
And it's funny because I am still connecting, which is the beauty of when you get exposed to things that are not familiar, like another country where you don't know anyone, and you're walking down the street and you meet people and they have an idea, and then you bounce off of that, and then everyone is just an open book when you can be an open book to what's around you. And so I've been writing a lot.
And, oh, good.
Yeah, I would love to. I don't want to give too much away, but I have quite a few creative ideas that I would love to see come to fruition, which I know will. It's just a matter of letting go of how and just being in the moment and trusting that it's meant to unfold the way it is. And I'm a big believer in...
Eckhart Tolle.
Eckhart, sorry, copyright. I'm stealing some of your ideas here.
This is sounding very familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. Full credit to Eckhart's books because he has helped me so much with my mindset.
Yeah. And you needed that. Before to prepare you for this journey. What you said just then before, you said, but opening up to the right people. And I think the great thing about when you are centered and the more you are comfortable and you know yourself, you attract the right people in your life, right? And there was a story a long time ago where these ladies that were in abusive relationships were calling the radio station, and I was listening to the radio, and this lady was these ladies would call into a psychiatrist. I don't know if it was a psychologist. I think it was a psychologist. And they're all talking about their abusive relationships. And this one psychologist responded, and I never forget it. She said, "You've had all these abusive relationships." And she said, "Yes." And she goes, "I don't know why I keep getting into the abusive relationships." And this psychologist turned around to her and said, "You often attract the people you think you deserve." And I just remember listening to that. There was silence. And then this lady started crying because I think were saying, she suddenly took responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Before it was all these bad men.
Yeah.
Suddenly it's like, why am I attracting? Why am I attracting these men?
Yeah.
It's because these were the relationships I thought I deserved.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it was a mindset of where she was spiritually and physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the men she was attracting.
Wow.
Yeah. So
it's so powerful, true, because I do feel like when, like I was saying to you earlier, when we have a lot of conflict and things going wrong and around us and, you know, fighting, and I find often when something's amplified in the external world, that's often something that you are believing is true within yourself. And I find if I notice something that someone said that's irritated me and makes me want to react, it's because part of me actually believes that to be true, and I'm upset that that is the truth for me, that I'm telling myself that.
Yeah.
So then when someone says it, it just rings alarm bells. And then it's like, okay. So as soon as, and that's why I continuously try whenever someone says something that might catch me off guard or make me feel a certain way, I will go in and I will, gosh, I sound like a weirdo, but
literally
I will journal and I will write and write and write until I get to the reason. And it's funny, often I write until I cry, and then it's often, I believe it too. It's something I tell myself, whether it's, you know, looking in the mirror or something I beat myself up about for being a perfectionist. And then it's actually not ill meant by the person that's saying it. It's just because I've created so much meaning to that.
Sure.
That then that's what triggers me. So that's been cool to really dive into. And I love looking into human emotion. And that's why I love characters. I love storytelling. I love writing.
Because it's therapy in itself. I mean, acting is therapy, right? The more the different characters you play, the more you understand about yourself and where you fit in the world. And I think it's nice to reflect back to yourself, because what acting can do is also make an actor feel more comfortable being away from themselves.
Yeah.
They tend to find it a lot easier to dive into other characters, but find it very hard being themselves. And I say that because actors that I've wanted to come on have said no. And it's because there were one guy turned around and he said, Wayne, it's just I'm too scared because he is going to be an hour and a half talking from me and about me. And I just feel that I'm too vulnerable for that. And I understood that. Mm-hmm. But what you just said is, you know, if we start reflecting it back on yourself, like treating a character, what does Shelley learn from this?
Yeah.
And what can I contribute to this character? But what do I learn from this character? Mm-hmm. And always fill yourself with that sort of spiritual food with every character. Mm-hmm. You'll be healthier.
Yeah.
You'll have a better outlook. You know, when you're talking about you go back to your journals and you look in the mirror and you often write till you cry. There was a book I read called Meditations, and it was from Marcus Aurelius. He was a Roman emperor, and he still has written one of the best books on things like that. I mean, he was an emperor, but he wrote one of the best books, and I've heard it brought up on a lot of podcasts. But one technique he was using, which I think for actors it would be fantastic, when my wife was having a hard time at work, in meetings and in law, like when she would sit in depositions and things, I said to her, this one technique Marcus Aurelius uses was he takes himself out of the conversation and looks down at the conversation. So you're not within your body anymore. When you're not in your body anymore, you can't be hurt by any words. So you're looking at a dialogue because that is you there, but I'm here looking down at it.
Yep.
And he used that for a lot of confrontations. So my wife started to use it.
Oh, wow, that's beautiful. You still can
converse, but you're not emotionally
– You're not emotionally involved.
Involved in an attack.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I've used that a few times. It's just one of the many, 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 many things. Mm-hmm. And, it was like this out of body looking down at yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're totally detached from what's happening, but your mind is still there.
Oh, that's so special.
Yeah. It could be interesting.
It's so true because I find, I feel I often, if I'm feeling upset with what someone's saying or how they're speaking to me, I'll try and switch not into them, but like see exactly where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And that's how, where reading and writing has helped me because a person will say something and they will come from a place of what's happened to them, what they're going through, what's happened when they were little that still they're carrying with a burden. And then you switch from feeling a sense of, you know, this person is attacking me to then feeling compassionate towards them. And immediately it's weird. It's like you go into this, oh. And it's funny because sometimes I've been on such a circle of, months and months of different, okay, well, now I'm feeling like this, so how am I going to respond in this social setting?
But, you were saying with different cultures and different countries,
yeah,
the insults are different and it's knowing what not to do and what to do.
Yeah, and what to joke about and what to, because, you know, you got to live.
But at the same time, I think people accept Australians very well.
Oh, we have a great time.
Right?
Yeah.
As in, you know, Australians have a pretty good name, like in a lot of places around the world, because we have that she'll be right sort of mentality.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't take us too seriously. And, you know, and uh-huh. I think that we get away with a lot. And that's why I think Australians, especially within the performance and the actors and singers, you know, they're well respected. People get along with them pretty well. Like, yeah. Do you ever hear bad things said about Hugh Jackman or, no. You know, all of these people? You don't really hear bad things. So,
no.
Did you find what was some of the tough moments? You said people will say something to get you angry. Is there anything that came up without?
What, in terms of acting or in terms of in the real?
Shelley.
In the Shelley world?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, it's not as if someone will say something to get me angry, but I just notice. If I'm ever feeling like someone has said something and then I go away and I internalize it, you know, and that can be from anyone. That can be from, you know, your nearest and dearest, which I think is great because we need to be challenged spiritually, mentally, physically all the time. Yeah. And I find often it's actually through that you can only grow because I've been in times where It's like you surround yourself in a bubble of love. And I sometimes, if I'm overwhelmed, like even when I was first in America, after we finished the first portion of the shoot, and I was by myself a lot, and I knew some people, but I was alone a lot. And I've retracted back into that COVID kind of mentality of, oh, be by yourself, you know, you don't need to go out. And it was weird. It was like I didn't feel a need to throw myself in the fire if I was at home in perfect company, sure, by myself reading. And then I realized, what good is it if you are learning and growing by yourself and you don't voluntarily step out into the fire and kind of share that light? And I think, you know, I definitely went through a phase where I was feeling like, oh, I don't want to be at any party that's gossiping or speaking negatively or involved in trash talk. It's not my thing, and I don't handle it well. Like, I kind of shut off. But then I thought, yeah, but what good is it if I just hide from the world? Why not kind of challenge myself and go to a place that maybe I'm not with all my close friends that I know, and just go and be you and see what happens? And it's funny because you'll find that when you do that, the ego in kind of everyone dies when you are simply there being you and not feeding off of
and not pretending
talk.
To be
and
someone
not,
else.
Exactly. And not, it can be very easy to feel like you need to create a role and, oh yes, like act the part when you're in a different environment and you feel maybe threatened slightly.
Mm.
But then when you can see through to people, which I've had the beauty of traveling to so many countries now, and it's like, gosh, we're all the same. We're all fighting for love,
yeah,
acceptance,
true,
and to get our power back from something that was taken from us when we were little.
Yeah.
And then true, you can have this beautiful connection with every stranger. Well, not every stranger, but, you know,
yeah,
most strangers.
Sure. Did you have any strangers that you knew to stay away from, especially in these parties? You know, you hear of these Hollywood parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's this girl that's coming from Australia and she's quite, you know, naive to the whole scene.
Yeah.
Did you have any, or did you stay away from that? Did you have any people that would, you thought, they're trying to take a bit of advantage?
Yeah, definitely at times, because I was very just going by, flying by the seat of my pants, and I'm very open to new connections and new friends. But it does come with obviously challenges when you have to be trusting. And it's like I often say, it's half in survival mode, half in spiritual enlightenment, because I'm living this like doing whatever I like, and then also, but like, oh my gosh, I'm by myself and it's thrilling and scary.
Yeah.
But
just keeping your wits about you at the same time.
Yeah. And I find, like you say, I don't think you attract a lot of the wrong type of people when you are in that kind of flow of, well, I'm not out to kind of get anything. I'm out to make beautiful connections with people, hear their stories, and create meaningful work that's going to maybe, you know, inspire someone else that's going through a hard time. It's not on my agenda to go to somewhere to meet someone that might be able to get me somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, and I had to realize that in lockdown last year, that it's, you have an intention for each day. And if your intention is to kind of skip through a hurdle or do something like that, you might find yourself in hot water more easily than if you're more content with what you're doing in your own lane. And then you will attract people that can help you.
Yeah. Thank God you went through that in Sydney, because you said that it was an attack on your ego. Like when you were locked down and suddenly you're going through all this pain, and you said, you know, I told everyone I was going to do it on my own. I'm here.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm trapped and I'm feeling lonely and I'm reading Eckhart Tolle.
That's sounding a little nerd.
Can you imagine if you had taken that ego straight away to LA? Can you imagine some of the situations you could have been in?
Yeah.
Isn't exactly. that funny?
And it's funny because I always think about that, and I think about what could have been if I did things differently. And I think, but it was never going to be like that, because you can't connect the dots looking forward, only looking back. And I think, like you say, I needed to kind of go through that.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have been given that opportunity to travel the world creating art if I hadn't have gone through that self journey first and that suffering.
Sure.
And that's why it came. That's why it came to me. And it's interesting because I'm still kind of grappling with, okay, well, conflict still presents itself in areas. So obviously I need to do more work on myself. But I find the more and more you kind of think like that, everything is for you and everything is helping you grow into the person you're meant to be. So I kind of, yeah, I try not to worry too much and just live in the moment.
I think that's the only way to go, right?
Yeah.
Because like you were just saying that, it's when people say something, it's your internalization of it that magnifies it even more.
That makes it a problem. I know.
But you've never been one of those girls that had ego. Like, I mean, I never saw you as that actor that had ego, even though you could have. But, you know, you were sort of grounded, and I think your background, like coming from the country and Western music, and it makes me laugh because I don't know if this was you or not, but I said, Shelley, just go out, have a good time. And
you did say that to me.
Was that you?
Yeah.
And then I was seeing you on all these, like having dates and stuff. But then you said to me in class, you're like, no, but that's your fault, Wayne. You told me to go out and start just being a bit more free. And I was like, oh my God, did I say
that? Because that is so funny that you mentioned
it
that.
It was you?
Because it was back in like, oh gosh, like 2018, 2019, when I started doing your classes. And it was funny. I was still very much kind of a nerd and wanted to do things right. And it was like, okay, yes, now we're going to class and I'm going to learn something and then I'll take that away and I'll study and I'll memorize. And you're like, Shelley, just go and have some fun. And then I just was like, all right, that's my task. And so, yeah, that was kind of like the, life is also for fun.
It is. And students at the end of their diplomas, you know, they would say to me, Wayne, what do you suggest now? And they would think I would say, well, move here or start working on this. I used to say, the more you know about yourself, the better storyteller you are. To tell good stories, you have to have life experiences. So for me, what I would say is go travel, get your heart broken, lose your wallet, get into trouble. But you've got something, you learn about yourself and you've got something to draw from. So you become a better storyteller in that way. And I think that's acting, the journey's not easy. All right. I mean, I couldn't be an actor. And I used to say to my sister all the time, I don't know how you do it. But I couldn't do it because your journey is constantly relied upon on other people's decisions, right?
Yeah.
So it's nice to sit back and go, you know what? I am going to have some fun. And when you let go, those things happen faster.
It always happens. It's like true, isn't it? You book a flight, you decide, okay, I'm going to do this. And then the second you do it, everybody messages you. Everyone's like, yo, where are you? Let's catch up. Let's do this. And I don't know whether it's like the universe is waiting for you to make that, you know, affirmative action and then they're going to give you the next thing. I always think of it like that. But, yeah, you're so right. Yeah. I think and as well we don't need to sit around and wait for the opportunity to come to us. Go out and create it yourself.
And be active on that. You know, there was a guy, I was directing a scene for a Colombian film that ran out of money in their country.
Wow.
And they came here.
Aww.
And there was one guy I met, and I'll never forget it. He said, Wayne, my journey is I was living with 10 people in California, and all of us were actors. We're all trying, we're going auditions and trying to get out there and do our thing.
That would have been a lot.
Oh, yeah. And he just said that all of us had jobs and like part-time waiting jobs and stuff. But he said, you know what? It got to the stage where we were making a living out of extra work, but we weren't getting anything. It was just extras here, extras there. And so all of a sudden he met this woman that he fell in love with. They ended up having kids. And, you know, he said, what I had to do is I just had to look at other things I really enjoy. So he took up, I think it was carpentry, and he became a carpenter, loved his job. And years later, his agent calls him and says, you know, is this job coming up? And he goes, mate, that's an industry I'm not part of anymore. He goes, but you got nothing to lose. Go have some fun. Do you know, he went, got it. And it was House MD. You remember that movie, House MD, with the doctor?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it went on for seasons. Wow. And then he got another one from True Blood. It was And he said, you know, Wayne, it's because I was already content with my life. I was happy doing, I didn't need it. So there was no desperation in the audition. I could be in the moment, all those things you trained for.
Yeah.
And he said it was because I'd completely let go, didn't need the work, went in there, thought I'm going to have some fun with this and got it.
Yeah.
And got it and got it. And here he was, is he still got his job, but he's getting all these like roles now.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And he's happy with his wife and he's happy with his kids, where before he had a very different mindset.
Yeah.
He was desperate. Mm-hmm. I need to get a job in order to get out of this house so I can support or pay rent. There was this desperation that came with it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, learning from that, it's not just that industry. It's like you said, let go, have a bit of fun, learn about the world, learn about yourself. And these yeah. things will come at the right times within your life.
100%.
You've got to get an acting job as a singer.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm kind of keen to write a Western biopic. I would love, because obviously my first love came through that movie, Walk the Line, which I hold so close to my heart. And I always think, all right, I'm going to circle back to that. I don't know when, but that yeah. would definitely be something
that you could work on.
Yeah. I would love to do that, whether it's someone that has already lived before, that I can delve into their life and portray it, or whether I create something fiction.
I would create a fictional story, but is rooted in the truth of your own life. So in other words, you know, a country girl here loves the guitar, plays the guitar at different places, gets picked up through social media. Next minute she's in the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville and caught up in this whirlwind, and then goes through all these emotional journeys that you're going through now,
mm-hmm.
you know, heartbreak, people taking advantage, and then learning the spiritual journey, which then feeds back into the music, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if you just relate it from your own experiences,
yeah,
you've had an interesting journey already. Mm-hmm. So why look at another journey?
That's
just,
so
just
true.
Just exploit your journey,
yeah.
but in a fictional world, I think. And the fact that you can sing, you can play the guitar. That's your other love. Acting's your what? The other love. Why yeah. not create or just work on something?
Yeah, and I think you're so right in that it's funny and it's still a vulnerable topic for me to think about how everything is unfolded, purely because of the people around me and the strangers at all corners in the world that have rushed at their hands to help me when they had absolutely no idea who I was.
Really?
But honestly, it's all come down to just being open. And I know we carry an agenda, and fair enough, part of us, we're all living in survival mode and going through the motions of life. But when you just stop and look around and speak to the person next to you and ask them how they are, some of my best friends who are now considering visiting me wherever I am, and I'm even like a couple at the airport I met on my way home in the baggage line, invited me to Montreal next year. And it was just after a conversation. And even then, we met at the baggage drop. We were sitting next to each other on the plane. I cannot say how many times that has happened to me, where I've chatted to someone, whether it's at a cafe, I just go up and even in America as well, I'll go up and I'll hear an accent, and that immediately gets me excited because I'm like, oh, you're a traveler. You're not from here also.
Yeah.
Tell me your story.
Yeah.
And then we're having a barbecue the next week, and it's just being open to life.
Yeah.
And the help that can come when you really are vulnerable enough to reach out for it.
Yeah. Like, you know, I often say the best stories I hear are the people sitting next to me on the bus.
Yeah.
And they're the stories I want to come on the podcast. And like, it's the everyday person that is going through what they're going through is incredible stories and incredibly inspiring, a lot of them. And, you know, it's those sort of people. It's those people that you meet off the cuff that suddenly changes your journey. Mm-hmm. Like Montreal, who knows what's going to happen in Montreal?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's a puppeteer up there, like your guardian angel going, Shelley, this is going to happen for you to go over here because yep. I've got this plan for you over there.
And then we might give you gastro at some point because you're not meant to meet that person, so I'm going to make you sick, and then you learn this lesson when you look like crap.
Did you have COVID?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
And
oh,
that's
good.
The other weird thing, because we obviously had to test every second day, and even in Sydney pretty much all the time. And even in filming, we were kind of in a COVID bubble in the way that the resort was pretty empty anyway because it was the start of 2022 when we were filming. So Phuket was still kind of not completely restricted, but, you know, everyone was wearing masks and we weren't encouraged as actors to go out and explore it in the big groups. But if we were just together, it would be fine.
Okay.
But none of us caught COVID while we were shooting, apart from the sound guy on the very last day.
Oh, really?
So poor guy. But, you know, thankfully it was the last day, not the first day.
Did you bump into any celebs over in California?
I definitely I have. And I think it's funny now because it doesn't even, you know, make me bat an eyelid. But,
yeah, sure.
You know, even I was on the way to a Bob Dylan concert with a friend and we were just grabbing sushi nearby. And as I walked out, I was like, oh, that was Brad Pitt. We just walked past. And
I'm still getting over Bob Dylan.
Oh, I know.
We're going to a Bob Dylan concert. I'm like, pause there.
Well, that's the fascinating thing is that it's so, and it's cool as well, traveling to so many beautiful bigger places as well, because these artists, you know, they perform a lot. It's obviously in Australia, it's a bit of a novelty when they come, but I just think it's just so amazing. There is so much talent everywhere when you go and explore and just create as well with what's around you and the locals around you.
So you feel yourself inspired more because you're surrounded by all these artists?
I think I feel most inspired when I'm challenged and I'm partly in survival mode and partly in creator mode. It's no good when you're comfortable if I've got everything pandered to me and it's great, it's a great way of living, but if I'm not having to try hard to get out the door and, oh, I need to go and, you know, make some friends because otherwise I'll be by myself again tonight. It's just like you are so much more receptive to going out and, in, you know, going to friends' barbecues that you just meet on the side of the street.
Yeah.
And I find that element is what comes into play for what makes me inspired. It's the unknown territory and the magic that can unfold when you're receptive to the people around you. But I do also believe you should never feel like you need to live in a certain place for an opportunity to come to you.
Well, you were here, right? Lockdown.
I was in Australia when I got the American opportunity. And I think you just need to be content and happy within yourself, like you say, not in desperation of need of anything, because then it's funny, acting is very similar to your own objectives in life. If you're coming from my objective is I need this because I need money, because I want people to know who I am, because I want to tell my family, look what I've done, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So if you're coming from a place of I'm actually really excited to see what I can create and who
tell
I can
a good
meet,
story and inspire.
And who I can inspire through using the pain that nearly killed me but didn't, and I feel amazing because of some of the suffering I went through.
And what's the difference between California and Canada besides the weather?
Oh, yeah, I know. Everyone always jumps at the snow. I'm like, you know, there's other exciting things about Canada than the snow.
Sure. I've been to Toronto and that was beautiful. And what I remember about it is when I visited Niagara Falls, all the leaves on the trees had crystallized because of the mist that was coming up from the falls. So it looked like every tree was made out of glass.
Wow.
And they put lights through it and it was just so beautiful. Yeah. I mean, but how are the people there compared to who you met in California? Were there differences? Or?
Culturally, I feel that, well, it's funny. Los Angeles is very, very multicultural, but I find also Vancouver is extremely multicultural and I love it. I just love meeting people who have come from a different place, who have left their family, who have fought it out alone.
Right?
Yeah, it's funny. And I love also, and it's not, obviously I'm not an immigrant that came over on a boat, but gosh, when I hear a story of someone's family who did and they made a life for themselves and they made it from nothing, like that is the kind of story I want to tell. Like, and that's the beautiful thing about when you meet these people who have been through so much, and it just, that's the thing. It gives me hope, because if I think about someone who has literally come from war and nothing, and they have come out here to find a better life for their family, and I'm complaining about something that I can't get through in a first world problem. Like,
brings you back to reality.
It really does.
But I you know, their resilience is a lot stronger because the things that would affect normal people do not affect them. Mm-hmm. So their journey in essence is like they don't worry about the silly things. Which means their goals become more clearer. Like you'll notice the goals will be more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to make a life for my kids.
Yeah.
So they won't be thinking about a career and this and that. I just need to make a living to bring up my kids. And if we have food in our stomach, that's a good day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, where they've come from. Like you talk about the people that have survived wars and like grandparents, you know, that went through all of that. And talking to the Indigenous Australians here that went through the tough times back then, which I've met a lot of. And you just see the resilience. But you know what I find is that these people who have been through the worst see the beauty a lot more in the simplicity of the world.
Yeah.
More than the people that haven't been through those tough times.
Yeah.
And yeah, I bring this story up all the time. There was this this elder that was up north, and I was really sad to leave. And she pulled me aside, and I said, "Okay, Auntie, what have you got for me?" And one, she gave me that baobab nut, and she scribed my story on that little baobab nut. And she said, "Whenever you're back in Perth, whenever you're going through tough times, that's our land too. So go outside, be with nature, look at the trees, feel the animal totems. They'll all help you. So just because you're going back to the city, it's still our land. There's still trees. There's still nature there."
Yeah.
You know, and I never forget that, Shelley. I never forget it. So, and it was just so simple but so beautiful.
Yeah.
Because we get so busy in our lives. I mean, I learned this lesson also because you know my sister too. During her last few months, the biggest lesson I learned from her was she never spoke about the craft of acting once, even though that was the biggest part of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But she spoke about things of the simplicity of the sunsets, the forests, walking barefoot on grass.
Wow.
Remembered the lollies she ate as a kid in England, family, friends, the important stuff.
Yeah.
And for me, that was an awakening experience because from that moment onwards, my whole point was to live a life of simplicity
mm-hmm.
so I can enjoy those beautiful things in the simplicity because they're the most important, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so when you find people that have been through tough things, you'll find they find the beauty that we don't.
Yeah.
And their lives become better for it.
Uh-huh.
But yet, like you said, you know, we have these first world problems, but
yeah.
We haven't been through famine
no.
In Australia, like where the friends that I know, we haven't been through a world war,
no.
You know, and then there's people in Ukraine and places like that in Iran that are going through exactly that, like they're losing people. So there's always perspective, I think, that we need to have.
And it's all perspective.
It is.
Everyone's got a different world because we all see it differently.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's frightening for some people is almost the stillness is more frightening than if we are thinking about something that could be problematic. So it's almost better, you know, to occupy your brain with what could go wrong because at least it's not scared of the unknown territory that might happen when there's nothing to complain about or think about.
Well, that's why I feel there's so many angry people now because there is nothing really to complain about. But when there isn't anything to complain about and they are still feeling anxious and angry and isolated, which is why they'll often go to certain causes because they belong in a group and they'll be angry.
Angry about a change in the external environment instead of going inwards and thinking about how they might change.
Yeah, and you know, they're angry. They have to be angry about something. And when there is stillness, they're afraid of that. So they'll either what's easy is go to distraction.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the phone.
Yes.
And they'll go to the reels and then those 30 second things next minute's 2 hours later.
Yeah.
And now they're more angry and more isolated.
I know.
And all you need is that silence.
Uh-huh.
You think about it, how healthy and how to just be in that silence,
yeah,
and to discover your voice again, because a lot of people have lost that voice. Yeah. They don't know who they are anymore. Yeah. I feel sorry for the younger kids, like the, you know, 10-year-olds and 11. They've been like ambushed with information all day, like phones, Netflix, YouTube, which constant.
And it's a funny one because, you know, I don't watch the news. And I be careful about what I let into my mind, but it's a fine line between also being aware of how you can actually help, if I can offer any help to anyone, and also realizing that social media is excellent for communicating. And, you know, if I could, oh, I can. And it's funny, I'm already saying if I could. Look at me go. But, you know, I want to kind of just completely go offline. And in some way, I did do that in lockdown, and I have done that for a bit as well in other parts of the world. But when you do that, some ways you do lose connection with some people in another part of the world that could reach out
to
you.
It's how you use social media.
Yeah.
That's another point. It's if you're using social media from a point of view without ego, like I am satisfied with who I am. I'm not trying to be anyone else. I'm just trying to share experiences,
uh-huh.
you know. And instead of having your self-worth caught up in how many followers and things you have, that's the danger.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have your self-worth and you can use social media in a helpful way without the ego attached, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, I couldn't do this without social media.
Exactly.
You know?
And, you know, that's how you reach people, I think, is through that. And we're so lucky we live in a time and place where we can reach people anywhere.
I know.
And that's the thing, because I think that's why we're continually evolving and everything is the way it should be, because it's such a blessing. But you've got to know the boundaries and know how to use it correctly, because otherwise it will be taxing.
So from this journey, what's next for Shelley Q?
Well, I often say I feel as if I am living in my dream at the moment, traveling and meeting people all around the world, which feel now like family. I couldn't be more content, and I'm so grateful for everything that's happened, and even all the little hurdles and challenges and obstacles that made it hard, they're all such blessings for me because I learned so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about what's next, it's funny because I almost don't. I just think about now, and I'm well aware that the next steps will unfold only when I am present.
Yeah, sure.
And I find it's a bit of a push-pull because if I'm thinking about what's next, I'm not here now.
I'm talking about you're not going to be staying in Australia though, are you?
Oh, you're talking about location.
Yeah, what's next for you, but also you are flying back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that world, yes, I am. So I'm going to Sydney at the end of this month, and I will be there for a couple months. And then I have got a ticket to Canada. But like I say, I'm very open if anything happens during the way that might inspire me to head elsewhere, or go to another country, or meet with some people in another part of the world, I will.
Isn't travel great?
So great. Yeah.
I think it's the number one love of my life. And my wife and I try and do it as much as we can.
Yeah.
Because every time, like she said to me yesterday, can you believe we're only going away for just over 2.5 weeks? But when we come back, everything is the same, but yet our experiences within that and the treks we do and the people we meet, that's how beautiful travel is. And you bring back parts of that with you.
Yeah.
The lessons you've learned, you bring back that.
It was funny. I was speaking to another actor on set because I got a little bit down halfway through shooting because I just suddenly realized I'm going to be leaving all these beautiful people and crew and actors that I have now made a family with. And I was just so upset. And then he said, just think of it as you're taking little seeds. You're taking seeds from people and you are giving also some of your seeds. And you take this with you everywhere. It's the blessings from them. It's the life experiences from them. They're not leaving you. They're going to be with you. And parts of them will be with you. And And that kind of stuck with me. And because I think about this concept when, you know, you refer to missing someone, and I think people can always be with you.
Yeah.
And I've held that close to my heart, that if I'm missing someone, I will be with them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I am with them in some way. And I'll let them know. I'll be like, oh, I'm thinking of you. And then it's like, they're not gone. They're right there.
Yeah.
They were thinking of me too. Often, you know, you think of someone and it's like, oh, yeah, they messaged.
Yeah.
Is that a coincidence?
Even, I don't think. Even loved ones who have passed. I was talking to Bedstrip, and he follows the way of the Hopi from the Native American tribe in Arizona. Wow. And he said that, you know, his mum and dad have passed away, but in the belief of the Hopi, everything is part of everything. So he suddenly realized that his mum and dad were now in him.
Wow.
Like, he's part of his mum and dad.
Wow.
He was a product of his mum and dad. So yeah. Mum and dad are speaking through him, and his experiences are now through their eyes, and they're part of him as well. And I thought, that's such a beautiful way. Like, you become part of one.
Yeah.
Everything is part of one. And I think it's really nice to be able to speak to, like, I still feel Fern every now and then. I can say, because you know Fern, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I feel her, like, every now and then I'm in a car and I feel her in the car and I'll just start talking. But it's almost like I said to her before, please don't come and haunt me, right? Because knowing her, you know, she'd pull my ears and I'll be like,
Don't do it.
And I said, if you can, come in my dreams and have a talk. And she has. Oh, and I've had the most beautiful talks with my sister in my dreams. And, you know, and then I'll wake up and I'll feel, oh, I've just spent time with her, you know, and there'll be this big smile on my face. But as the grieving process has come, it's like it was a long time, but now it's evolved into something where I feel that there's only a thin veil between me and her.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see that spectrum. She can't, you know, she can probably see this.
Wow.
So she is around. You've just got to live like you are. And if you need to talk, and then she'll be listening and she'll guide you. And hopefully she's my little puppeteer now to sort of go, Wayne, listen to Shelley, let go, be here.
Yeah.
Trust the process, which I have done.
Uh-huh.
But it is amazing from the people that you meet. And like you just said, the little seeds, like,
yep,
take from this crew the seeds, and then that will grow, and then others will grow. And that's the only sad thing with film, is that you become family, because especially in a feature film, you together for so long, in and out of each other's pockets.
Absolutely.
Oh, before I forget, you were sitting next to a guy playing the piano and singing.
Oh,
Like, where was that?
So that was actually in a beautiful town called Carmel by the Sea in California. And it was funny.
That's the Shelley I love. Like, whenever I look at that, I was like, that's the Shelley I know.
Yeah.
Having a blast, you know.
Oh, it was the most wild experience. And it only happened because my new apartment that I was going to sublet in California, the guy messaged me and he said, oh, I'm so sorry, but I know you're meant to be coming tomorrow, but it's not going to be ready for another 5 days. Hope this isn't going to put you out too much. And I had already just packed up and moved from my last place. And I was just, I was like walking around the kitchen and I was like, whoa, what do I do? Where do I go? And I felt like, it was funny, like we say, I needed to be somewhere or do something. But I called a friend and I said, well, do I book a hotel and just spend all this money? And he said, why don't you just pack up your stuff, go in your rental car somewhere, just drive. And he said, look, Highway 1 is beautiful and there are so many cool towns and places to stop. And I mean, if you can get all the way up to San Francisco, it's, you know, it's 7.5 hours from Los Angeles, but just see what you can find. And he gave me a list of all these beautiful stops, and something just told me, yep, that's what I meant to do. So I packed up, put myself in my car.
I love it.
And I just went driving. And it felt like I was in a James Bond movie, because Highway 1 is like, there are these roads which you go like, you know, equivalent to like 110, 120, whatever, along the side of a cliff that just drops and there's water and the sea and there's no railing for safety. Like, it's wild and it's so exciting. But I was just driving and I thought, I'll just drive to see how far I can go. And so I did stop and in a night in a beautiful town halfway to this place called Carmel. But then when I made it up to Carmel by the Sea, which is about 5.5 hours away, I just went and I quickly Googled and I called and there's this beautiful place called the Mission Ranch Hotel and Restaurant. And I looked at the photos online and it was in front of like paddocks of sheep. And something was like, it's like home, go there. And so I went and I booked a night and I just said, I would like to go here, please. And just went to this beautiful little, you know, it was like a little cabin hotel room and a beautiful open landscaping like restaurant in front of the paddock. And there were fireplaces everywhere. And I just went and, you know, my biggest joy now is just going alone and eating because that's when I love chatting to strangers. Mm-hmm. And so I went and I was just, you know, eating my steak in the corner by myself and I was miming along to the piano man in the corner who was just playing all these songs and it was kind of like an open mic thing that they did with the locals.
Oh, okay.
Which I wasn't aware of when I looked up the place. But the locals would get up and they would sing, you know, the piano man or Sweet Caroline or Sweet Home Alabama. And I was just sitting down and I was in my element, just miming everything.
I can imagine.
And so the pianist pointed to me and he said, yeah, you sing? And then I think, you know, he must have just seen me just kind of knowing the lyrics to every 60s song they were playing. And then I just, you know, I kind of looked and I was like, yeah, you know, I like it. And then he kind of called me up and then he just said, go on, give us a song. What song do you want to sing? And you know, I went to my go-to first and I was like, just maybe I will survive because, you know, I'm still here. And it was funny as well because at the time when he started playing and, you know, the opening to the song, and just something about it was so magical that I was in this restaurant by myself. I didn't know anyone, but I had all these beautiful Californians around me. And a lot of them were, you know, 70-year-olds and beautiful elderly couples. And there were a few young people traveling and on honeymoons. And I was there just
in the moment,
no introduction, just being me singing, I Will Survive. And I was on top of the world. And after that, you know.
You looked happy.
Oh, I was so happy. Mm. And yeah, after I sung that and, you know, there was a bit of a crowd and it was gorgeous because I felt like there was a bit of a kind of group thing going on and everyone was like, who's this random young girl?
Because when I looked at it, I didn't know the scenario. I didn't know whether you were a paid singer for that night or whether you were with friends at a place and it was a karaoke thing with friends.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know the story because you looked happy in that.
It was such a brilliant time. And then, you know, some of the locals came over and they said, are you going to come back tomorrow night and sing for us? We'll come back.
Wow.
And I was like, I was going to keep trying to get up to San Francisco, but I guess this is where I extend. And yeah, I extended another night and another night and another night.
Oh, really?
And then it was like this beautiful experience of people, you know, shouting out songs and singing Bohemian Rhapsody and all the locals joining in. Wow. And
beautiful.
It just made me feel as one with everyone. And it's funny, I feel like we often carry around a bit of a story with why we are the way that we are or how we act, but you don't even need that. You can just be with someone.
So isn't that, even that journey alone is that guy telling you, have you ever just thought of driving? Go on Highway 1. And, you know, again, that guy was meant to say that to you at that time for you to eventually end up in a place that you were going to spend a few nights that you thought was just going to be a stopover.
Mm-hmm.
So it just shows you when your instincts are right, they're right, and you got to trust them in that way. So if you had to go back, I'll end it with this. If you had to go back 2 years and talk to the Shelley 2-3 years ago that was in Perth, what advice would you give her?
When it's scary, jump. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I'm still telling myself every day because even now, it's so beautiful being here in Perth and seeing all my family and gosh, I just love every minute of it so much, but I know that in order to grow, I need to be in an environment that I don't know and that is hard.
Because Perth will always be here.
Absolutely.
You know, and I used to say that to a lot of people, even to myself. Like, it was so nice to come back to Perth where there was family, friends that would treat you normal and that would put you down when you needed to be put down and stir you. And it was also nice to come back with a breather of just, because Perth does that to you, right? Especially, I suppose, where you go to your family in the country. Where are they in the country?
So we're about 15 minutes out of a town called Narrogin.
Oh, I know Narrogin.
It's in the wheat belt.
Wow.
Which is so beautiful, and I'm so grateful to call that my home and where I grew up.
And the sunsets and the sky. I think you posted something on that, didn't you? But look at the sky.
Yeah.
Where I'm from.
Oh, the glow. I think that's something about Australia. We just get these beautiful sunsets with all the different colours, which I don't know. I haven't seemed to find that. Oh, Thailand. Yeah, Thailand has beautiful sunsets.
Yeah, Thailand's nice, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So before, whenever you go away and you do these big things, and obviously great things are going to, like, I'm not talking about fame. I'm talking about good life experiences, like you sitting at a piano bar. And I'm sure work will take you in these amazing places too. But I just don't want you to forget about us small guys. So when you do come back to Perth, you know, I'm going to treat this as a catch up. And I'm like, Shelley, you got an hour free. I want to know. You'll be like a 7-Up. You know, people will look at, because they know your podcast from back then. Now they'll see this. And there'll be this like overall Australian journey on a podcast of this one person.
Oh, it's so magical. Great.
Yeah. And there's a few people that were looking forward to hearing this because I said you were coming on. And they were like, Shelley, because they all knew you.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, she's making time. She's coming here for an hour or so before, you know, within your busy schedule. But your sister's just given birth. So let's give her a big, you know, hug.
Shout out to
her sister. Nephew or niece for you?
Little nephew.
Nephew. Have you got nephews before?
Yeah, so this is actually, so my sister now has 4.
Okay.
And my eldest brother also has 4 and my other brother has 2.
Wow.
So my siblings are a lot older than me and they all have beautiful families and I have beautiful brother-in-law and sister-in-laws and it's just like overwhelming with family love at the moment, which is so nice, going home and having all these little ones know me and love me.
Yeah, and soon they'll be like, Aunty Shelley's on the screen. Look, and they'll have these movie nights and they'll be like, oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Hey? It's so cute. Yeah, and I love it. I love it as well. I think being around youth, and that's something traveling alone, I don't see kids really a lot, especially not, I guess, in LA, in the heart of Hollywood.
Sure.
You don't see a lot of little kids, tackers running around. And it just really reminds me that we take life so seriously. And even my gorgeous niece was saying to me the other day, I don't know, just something happened and it was just a really good day. And she was walking around going, everything is awesome, everything is awesome. And I just thought, wow.
A kid's perspective, yeah.
When you affirm that as well, because we speak into existence, you know, oh, this is a bad day, like everything's going wrong and more stuff goes wrong. But then this youth brings us back to the beauty of life.
It does, even music. You know, there was a girl that was on and she said that she was getting into alcohol a little bit too much when she was finding it very hard. But it wasn't to a stage of a problem, she knew it could get there. So what she decided to do is every time I have a drink, I've got to dance and put on a song. And what she found was when you're dancing a lot, you can't drink.
Wow.
So all of a sudden the drinking stopped and the dancing continued and the dancing changed her mind on things. How cool is that?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Because music is one thing that can turn your mindset in an instant, right?
Yeah. I love it. That's something that, religiously I'm always looking for 60s, 70s, 80s dance joints everywhere I go. I ask the locals, I'm like, okay, where can I find Beatles and the Bee Gees and ABBA and Elvis? Like, show me.
Every time you post a story, I go on the story mainly to know what music year you're posting.
Oh, yeah.
Like before you said, Wayne, everything pre-90s, like there's nothing post-90s, right? And I was like, yeah, that's Shelley.
Oh, I just love it. I love it so much.
Well, we wish you the best and we all love you and we hope to see you come back soon.
Absolutely.
And share more life insights, you know. And I think what people will get from this is you know, the younger people that will sit here and the older too, but it'll be like, you know, when things get tough, maybe I should jump.
Yeah.
Right? It's listening to this girl's story, you know, maybe I've got to trust myself more.
Absolutely.
And maybe read Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, I mean, that is my one book, A New Earth, Eckhart Tolle. Changed my life.
There you go. Thanks, Shelley. Thanks for coming on.